For being here this evening. I think it's a long day for many of you. For some of you, it's holiday time. But it's always good to come to the house of the Lord to listen to the word of the Lord. Pastor is in India this week. He is now at Faith IP Church. Have you heard of Faith IP Church? Visuvasam IP Church in Trichy. Pastor Stephen James have been going to Bangalore to minister to 20 to 30 people. And during this trip, these 20 to 30 people will be coming to Trichy to meet up with him. And we hope to see some new development, perhaps, God willing, in Bangalore. And that's something to pray about and to consider. This afternoon, Pastor Mark and I, we went down to see Siu Lin, and she's still holding on. Last week, Pastor spoke about her, and she seems to have a sense of a bit of agitation, a bit of restlessness, going in and out of consciousness. There are times when she talks to herself, she remembers the past, and sometimes she scolds the daughter, asking her about the shoes. And I think what's happening is that the cancer is affecting her brain. Something that I saw before in Yvonne, I think some of you would remember Yvonne, and it's very similar. Towards the end, this person is no longer the same. But she does remember her baptism. I asked her about her baptism, and there was a sense of joy thinking about that. And so I read to her Psalm 23, prayed with her, and then there was a sense of calmness. And then she rested. Her face became pale for a moment. And then the redness came back. Then she woke up, and she continued to talk. And she told the daughter, spelled out this word, F-I-G-H-T. She said, fight. And I think what she's doing is that she continues to fight on. And so let's take a bit of time to pray for her this evening before we begin. Okay, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, this evening we come before you and we want to pray for Siu Lin, that Lord, you will be with her, that you will continue to grant her your grace and especially your mercies. We pray that you will watch over her and be with her family as well. Continue to grant them grace and strength. We also remember Pastor as he ministers in India. We pray, dear Lord, that you grant him journey mercies. We pray that you empower him with your grace. And we ask, dear Lord, that he will be able to preach your word mightily and hearts will be deeply challenged and moved. And we ask for your leading with reference to Bangalore. Perhaps a new ministry. We pray, dear Lord, that you will lead us and guide us on this matter. And be with us this evening as we study your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now this evening we continue our study of Psalm 21. And Psalm 21 is a didactic psalm. It is similar to Psalm 1. Psalm 1 is about the righteous and the ungodly. And there's a strong contrast that we can read in Psalm 1. Psalm 1 talks about how the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And Pastor spoke last week from Psalm 21 about the blessing of goodness, of how when God blesses us, the goodness of the Lord is there. And we should take time to give thanks to give thanks to God for the joy that we can have in the Lord, for strength for each day. Maybe we can turn to Psalm 21, and in verse 2, we read how you have given him his heart's desire and have not withheld the request of his lips. For you meet him with blessings of goodness. How wonderful that is. The Lord meet us with his blessings of goodness. He asks life from you and you give it to him. Length of days forever and ever. For you have made him most blessed forever. And last week, Pastor spoke about how we should take the time to just rejoice, to rejoice in the blessings of the Lord, to rejoice in, you know, the simple things of life. Last week, he spoke about going to Wanpo Hawker Center to try to eat this thing called, nasi lemak. And apparently, the line was a bit too long. But today, Pastor Mark and I went, and the line was not long. And within 5 minutes, we managed to get our nasi lemak. I tell you, it is very good. And I'm a fan of brinjal. And they have this brinjal that is, you know, not cut, the whole strip of brinjal with the sambal on top. And it was heavenly. It was really good. And you know, Pastor Mark and I, we all think alike. At the moment when we took it, he said to me, "Mitch," with all seriousness, he said, "We should have gotten two." And I told him, "That's exactly what I was thinking about." And we really enjoyed that plate of nasi lemak. Well, Pastor told us last week to really enjoy the things of life, isn't it? And we should. To enjoy the things that are good and wholesome, the things that God has blessed us with. Let's learn what it means to be thankful for this joy that we can have in the Lord. You know, I give thanks. I give thanks for many things in life, for Bethany. I give thanks for my godchildren. Every day I pray for them. I have a picture of them in my Bible. I carry them with me wherever my Bible goes. And, you know, I remember them in prayer every day. I give thanks to God for them. They bring so much joy to my heart. One day, Ashley came to me and she looked at me and with all seriousness, she said, "Godpa?" I said, "Yes, Ashley." Ashley is my goddaughter. She's primary 6 this year. She asked me, "Godpa, do you have 6 abs?" 6 packs. Wow, I was a bit shocked at the moment how to answer her. And I told her, "I used to have. Now it's united as one." Yeah. And Ashton came to me and said, "You know, recently someone came to me and said, 'Hi, Ashley.'" And he was shocked. He said, "I'm Ashton, not Ashley." And he went on talking about, "How can people call me Ashley when I'm Ashton?" Yeah. And they bring a lot of joy to my heart. I think we should learn what it means to rejoice, to give thanks, to be able to look at the Lord's blessings in life, rather than complain, rather than look at all the miserable things of life, and to focus on those things. And, you know, it's wonderful to be able to give thanks. I thank God for my mother. You know, this coming Sunday is Mother's Day. And we should take the time to give thanks for mothers. My mom is special. I have only one mom, and I give thanks to her. Give thanks to God for her. You know, at every meal, when it comes to the last piece of meat or chicken wing or something nice, she'll always give it to me, not to Pastor Mark. Yeah. Well, most of the time. So I thank God for my mom. I thank God for the blessings that God has given to me. And we should give thanks. We should rejoice. We should find strength in the Lord even as we rejoice. Now, today's study of the second half of Psalm 21 offers a sharp contrast to the first half. The first half of Psalm 21 is on the blessing of goodness, of joy, and strength. And Psalm 21 is what we call a royal psalm. There are different types of psalms. There are psalms where we see David crying out to God in desperation. There are psalms where we see David sharing words of wisdom. There are times where it's penitential psalms, where he's crying out for forgiveness. There are psalms that are imprecatory, where there are crimes against humanity. And you have historical psalms, and then you have the songs of ascent. Now, Psalm 21 is a royal psalm. And the focus is on the king and his kingship. It's a reference to King David. It is both personal and national at the same time. And the psalmist had spoken of the joy that he had in the Lord, how he is most blessed forever. So here is the king. He's king over his country, and we have God as king over the whole earth. So there is this pattern. The kingdom is established according to a certain pattern. There is the Lord's anointed. He is king over Israel. He will rule according to the laws of the land, the laws of the Lord. Israel was meant to be God's special people, being ruled by a righteous king. Okay, so the king is meant to be a region king. God is the ultimate king. King David was meant to be a regent king. Okay, so the Lord will be the real king over all the nations, over all men. Okay, now the second half of Psalm 21 is about the judgment of God. So the contrast is 180 degrees. Okay, not 360 degrees, it's 180 degrees, totally different. And we have the kings who have their own kingdoms, and they have their own ideas. They have their own ways of looking at things, and their focus is plotting. They are thinking about killing David. They are thinking all kinds of evil things. And so we see a sharp contrast between the righteous king and the unrighteous kings. On one hand, we see the blessings of the Lord. On the other hand, we see the judgment of the Lord. On one hand, we see the mercies of God. On the other hand, we see the wrath of God, where there is no mercy. Okay? And so when we read Psalm 21, verse 8, we see how there's a huge contrast. So in verse 8, we read, "Your hand will find all your enemies. Your right hand will find those who hate you." Okay, now in the first half, he uses the third person. Obviously, this psalm is about David, but he doesn't refer to himself until the last verse. The whole psalm, the first part, he uses a third person. Now, when it comes to the second part, he talks about how God, how these people, these kings who are plotting, who are planning evil things, obviously against David, but he sees it as they plotting against God himself. They hate David, but you know what? They are hating God himself. right? Can you see how he's writing this? He does not put himself into the picture, okay? And so we see how these enemies, they were most probably the Philistines, the Ammonites, the Amalekites, and the Syrians. These were the traditional enemies of Israel. So David saw them as enemies of God. Enemies of the Lord were enemies of the state. And there was justification. Justification in battling against them, and there was a need to defend the country. Okay, those who hated God, they worshiped idols, they had other gods, and of course they hated God. Okay, and there are different aspects being portrayed, especially with reference to the hand of the Lord. Now, turn with me to the earlier Psalm, Psalm 20, verse 9. And we read of how the Lord will answer him from his holy, in verse 9. Okay, verse 6. And he will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Now, the hand of the Lord can refer to deliverance. Okay, the hand of the Lord can be, one aspect is deliverance. Another aspect is judgment. Okay, another aspect is God's hand can uphold, God's hand can lead, but in Psalm 21, God's hand can destroy. God's hand can crush. Can you see this? Okay, and so those who are enemies of the Lord, who hate him, will face the Lord's judgment. So God's wrath will be upon them. Okay, they will be placed in fiery furnace, and they will be totally consumed. Okay, totally wiped out, totally destroyed. See, that's the judgment of the Lord against the wicked. Okay, they will be totally destroyed, wiped out. When an atomic bomb is detonated, what happens is that you have uranium-235 releases amount of energy that is equivalent to 17 kilotons of TNT. Okay, so there's this huge amount of thermal energy being released, and basically you wipe out everything within a city limit. And there's also this shock wave that will destroy everything several miles away. Okay, so when we look at the Lord destroying the enemies of his enemies, the enemies of Israel, it's a total wipeout. All of them will die. Okay, Hiroshima, Nagasaki, 250,000 people died. But there is a difference. A difference between the righteous and the ungodly. Now, turn with me to Psalm 89. In Psalm 89, and in verse 24, okay, we read of how, in verse 30, okay, if his sons forsake my law and do not walk in my judgments, if they break my statutes and do not keep my commandments, I will punish their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness I will not utterly take from him, nor allow my faithfulness to fail. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His seed will endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever like the moon, even like the faithful witness to the sky. Okay? Now, there's a difference between the righteous and the unrighteous. Psalm 89 speaks of chastening. The righteous can be chastened. Okay? When the ungodly sin, it is judgment. It is total wipeout. If his sons forsake his law, he will be punished. The Lord will punish their transgressions with the rod, but his loving kindness, he will not utterly take away. Because of his loving kindness, he will not utterly take away, nor would he utterly allow his faithfulness to fade. So the Lord will not break his covenant. Right? His seed shall endure forever. So the Lord will bring about severe chastening on the people of Israel. David's seed will be established forever. Of course, that seed will be the Lord Jesus finally. Right? There is no complete end. But on the other hand, the wicked will be totally destroyed. So on one hand, the righteous will go through chastening. They will not be utterly destroyed. This is God's covenant promise. But on the other hand, the wicked will be utterly destroyed. They will be thrown into the fiery furnace. For the wicked, there is no covenant promise. So there is a difference. So the difference between judgment and chastening is mercy. Can you see the difference? It is the mercy of God. Between judgment, utter destruction, and chastening, what's the difference? Mercy. Mercy that is from God. So every time when we go through a bit of correction or chastening, remember, it is the mercy of God. It is out of his love that he chastens us. It is out of mercy that he does not destroy us. So you can see the difference? Chastening and judgment. And so even maybe we have to go through some correction at times, some chastening at times. Remember, it is the mercy of God. It is the mercies of God that we are not consumed. Okay, and it's an important thing for us to consider. Now, we turn to Psalm 7 to understand this a bit more. Psalm 7 and in verse 11, we read, God is a just judge. And God is angry with the wicked every day. If he does not turn back, he will sharpen his sword. He bends his bow and makes it ready. He prepares for himself instruments of death. He makes his arrows into fiery shafts. Behold, the wicked brings forth iniquity. Yes, he conceives trouble, brings forth falsehood. He made a pit and dug it out and has fallen into the ditch which he made. His trouble shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down on his own crown. And so the Lord is a just judge. There is divine anger. He has every right to be angry. He has every right to bring about justice. But for the Lord's people, there will not be a complete end. Okay? So he's angry. He's angry with the wicked every day. So even as we look at how wickedness may thrive in this world today, even as we look at how evil may spread, remember, God is angry with the wicked every day, and he will bring justice and judgment. Okay? There will be a complete end. And this was something that King Ahab, when he compromised with Ben-Hadad, he compromised with him. The Lord told him not to go to Ben-Hadad, but he did it. He went and he compromised, And he signed his own death warrant. And because of that, when he compromised, then judgment came upon King Ahab as well. Okay? And so we see God as a righteous judge. On one hand, we see God as a God of great blessing, a God of love, a God who treasures being with us. His presence is the thing that brought the greatest joy to David. But on the other hand, we see a God who is just, a God who is angry, a God who will bring about utter destruction. And you know the difference? Wow, it's really so stark. What a great contrast. One moment. See, last week during a prayer meeting, y'all were laughing throughout. Today, we are not. Because we are talking about judgment. I was just trying to say, well, how do I do this? Well, that's the truth. And it's hard. It's hard to laugh at judgment, at people being brought into fiery furnace. But that's the truth. That's how God works. On one hand, he can bless. But on the other hand, he can bring about great judgment. Okay? Now let's go back to Psalm 21. And in Psalm 21, we see, "You have made them as a fiery oven in the time of your anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath." Wow, can you imagine the Lord grabbing all these people? They try to hide, they try to scheme behind the scene, but you know what? God's hand will find them out, catch them, and throw them into the fire. You can run, but you can't hide. You can try to run, but you know what? God will catch you one day, and you will have to face judgment. See, people think that they can run away, they can get away with wrong, with evil, with wickedness. No. God's hand will find you out. And God will take these people, throw them into the fiery furnace, in anger, in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Verse 10, "Their offspring you shall destroy from the earth, and their descendants from among the sons of men." The next generation, everybody wiped out. When the people of Israel, when they went into the land of Canaan, the Lord's command was, kill everyone. Destroy everyone. And that was the Lord's judgment upon the land of Canaan. Can you see this? "For they invented evil against you. They devise a plot which they are not able to perform. Therefore, you will make them turn their back. You will make ready your arrows on your string towards their faces." So they try to plot against God. They try to plot against God's anointed. They try to scheme, and you know they are advancing towards the kill. And God turns them back. And as they turn back, as they are coming back, you know who's waiting for them? God with his arrows. God laying an ambush for them and destroying them, wiping out everyone. Can you see this? Evil plotting. No matter what plot the enemies of David or the enemies of God will come up with, it will come to nothing. You see, when the wicked people try to plot against God's anointed, God's people, it will come to nothing. Through the years, I've seen many people say horrible things against Pastor, against Bethany. Today, after many years, where are these people today? Some of them are gone. Some of them have faded into the background, and that's it. Pastor is almost like the last man standing. You know, people can say all kinds of things. And people have said things against Bethany. Well, we thank God. We thank God that the Lord continues to preserve us, to watch out for us, and to bless the work of our hands. The Lord has continued to establish the work that Pastor is seeking to do. Whether it's here or whether it is overseas, you can see through the years how God continues to bless. Men can intend evil, but God will turn things around and make it good. Okay? And that's something for us to think about and to thank God for. In Psalm 21, verse 12, it says, "You will make ready your arrows on your string towards their faces." And we see the divine weapons of war. Just to understand this a bit more, turn with me to Psalm 18. And in Psalm 18, we read of how the Lord, He is a shield in verse 30. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in Him. It is God who arms me with strength. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. Your right hand has helped me up. Again, the right hand. The right hand can save. The right hand can destroy. The right hand can hold us up. Your gentleness has made me great. And so, verse 39, "For you have armed me with strength for the battle." And we can see how the Lord is there to enable David to fight against his enemies. And so we can see the divine weapons of war, a shield, and so on. And we see the Lord as the shield of His salvation. The Lord will bless those who will bless us. I appreciate what Pastor said yesterday at the morning worship service of how God will seek to bless us, how there is this wonderful potential of His blessing, and how that can be realized in our life as we learn how to exercise faith, as we learn how to depend upon the Lord. And when God seeks to bless, He will bless. And our part is to exercise faith. How He will bless those who will bless us, and how He will curse those who curse us. So, you know, we don't need to be afraid what people will say against us, what people would curse us with. If the Lord seeks to bless us, we will be blessed. And the Lord has indeed blessed us. And we want to thank God for that. Okay, any questions you want to ask at this point of time? If not, I want to focus on the last verse. Okay? We have taken a bit of time to talk about judgment. But I would really like to end this prayer meeting talking about the strength and the power of God. Okay, and to be able to challenge ourselves this evening to give praise, to exalt the Lord for His strength and His power. Be exalted, O Lord, in your own strength. We will sing and praise your power. You know, the psalmist took time to give thanks and exalt the Lord, to sing of His power and of His strength. So the Lord is someone that will empower us, give us strength. The psalmist rejoices in the blessing of goodness from the Lord, but he will also sing of the power and of the strength of the Lord in dealing with the wicked. And we see the mercies of God at work. The Lord will bless He will bless those who bless us. He will curse those who curse us. And so we see the Lord's protection. Now, how does strength and power work? How do we see them work together? Now, in order to see this, we turn to 1 Samuel 17. And in 1 Samuel 17, we see David. On one hand, we see David strengthened by the Lord. On the other hand, we also see the power of God. Okay, in 1 Samuel 17, we read of how David came to Goliath. And in verse 34, we read, David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. When a lion and a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it, struck it, delivered the lamb from its mouth." Okay? "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And so in verse 40, he took his staff in his hand and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, put it in a shepherd's bag in a pouch when he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Then, of course, Goliath said all these things against, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear and a javelin. I come to you with 5 pebbles. And in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know there is a God in Israel." Okay? Then, verse 49, "Then David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, slung it." Verse 48 first. "So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David hurried, ran towards the army to meet the Philistine." So he was running to Goliath. Okay? He was running towards Goliath. He was not afraid at all. Put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, and he slunk it and struck the Philistine in his forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. And so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. Now, where is strength and where is power? Strength is running to Goliath. I mean, if you were to face Goliath, what would you be doing? I think most of us would be running away. But David ran to Goliath. Now that's strength. He faced Goliath head on and took a pebble, took a small stone, and he threw the stone. Now that is strength. That is courage. That is the strength that the Lord has given to him. Now, what is power? The power is the moment when the stone leaves his sling and the stone flying through the air, hitting Goliath on his forehead, square on, embedded inside his head. That is power. Can you see the difference? One hand, it is strength. The rest is God's power. And we can see the power of God at work. So we see strength and we see the power of God. God's power was involved. So our part, how does strength come when we exercise faith? When we exercise faith in God, and God blesses us with strength. But as we exercise faith, and when strength comes, and when we act further in faith, and when we do the work of the Lord, there will come power. Power to do His work, power that enables, power that causes us to minister. And during the past few months, I've been ministering to someone, helping this person, trying to help this person to get out of his despair. And it seemed very hard. Personally, there were moments I felt it was very hard trying to get this person out of despair. And so you counsel the person, you pray for the person, you leave the rest to God. The interesting thing is, when a person took steps of faith, small steps, somehow God worked in his heart. From being in despair, now he has found courage. He has found strength. He has found joy. He has found hope. And to me, I can only attribute it to God's work in this person's life. The strength is to be there for the person, to not be discouraged, but to keep helping this person, to be there. Anytime the person calls, okay, let's talk. And when the person comes around, you know that this is the work of the Lord. And you rejoice. You rejoice in this work. You know, God will give that strength to help us to have the ability to cope, to overcome. God's power will manifest in other ways, in ways that will help us achieve, succeed. So at the beginning of this psalm, we see joy, we see strength, we see thanksgiving. At the end, we also see joy and strength. So the focus of this psalm is joy and strength. In God's blessing, even in God's judgment. He ends the psalm with giving exaltation to God. You know, I was just reading the life of William Carey, and you know, I was just reading how he would spend a day. 12 June, Thursday, 1806, in Calcutta, India. He'll get out at 5:45 to 7. He would read a chapter of the Hebrew Bible, devotions. 7 to 10 o'clock, family worship in Bengali and with his servants. Read Persian, revise scripture proof in Hindustani, breakfast, translate portion of the Ramayana from Sanskrit to English. 10 to 1:30, he will go to government college and he will teach. 1:30 to 2 o'clock, dinner. Okay, dinner is a huge meal. For them, lunch is the other way. Okay, so dinner is a huge meal. 2 to 6 o'clock, he will revise proof of Jeremiah chapter in Bengali, translate most of Matthew 8 into Sanskrit. 6 to 7, tea, read Telugu with a teacher, a son of the Reverend Timothy Thomas of London called. 7 to 9, prepare and preach an English sermon, about 40 present, including Judge Harrington. Afterwards, he gave £63 towards our chapel building fund. 9 to 11, translated Ezekiel 11 into Bengali. Cast aside my first edition on translation. Read a Greek Testament chapter. Commended myself to God. The whole day he's translating. That is amazing. I mean, I spent 1 hour translating Greek. I feel tired. But he's translating throughout the day. And that's amazing. Okay? You know, I really am. So when I read this, I say, wow, okay, I better translate tomorrow. I'm challenged to translate. Okay, let's go back to Greek. Strength. Strength from the Lord. You know, last week was a really challenging week. Pastor told us at the beginning of the week, you know, this week, I don't think I will be able to write emails to you all the whole week. And I think he's hinting to us, you better finish all your work for this week. And so I laid out all the things that I needed to do last week, this week, and maybe a bit of next week. I had 15 things to do. 15 things to do. Beginning of the week, I look at it, I say, well, I felt depressed. So many things to do. So many messages to do, so many articles to write. How am I going to finish this? And so I prayed. I thought, oh Lord, please give me the strength. I don't think I can do it on my own. And I prayed, and I told myself, I'm going to get up at 4:30 in the morning to write all these things, to write down, to prepare, to think. So I got up every day, 4:30, do all the things that I needed to do. Yesterday, when I went to see him, after the session meeting at 3 o'clock, I went with him for 3 things. He cleared it, and it was done. My 15 things was done. And you know, at 3:30, I was so happy. You know, I never felt so much joy. You know, wow, I finished it. I was able to do it. Whoa. So this week, I got nothing to do, no. You know, it's done. All my articles, all my Bible study, everything is done. So after tonight, I'm done. I'm looking forward to 9 o'clock, no. 10 more minutes. Come on, Mitch, 10 more minutes. But you know, I was just so thankful for the Lord's strength. I've never done that before, but I was just so thankful that the Lord gave me the strength to finish all that I needed to do. And of course, I still got another list to finish by this week. And I'm looking forward to it. Again, I'm going to rely on that same strength. You know, I really give thanks. I really give thanks for the Lord's strength and for His power that work in lives of people. And, you know, I've seen how God's power has worked in Bethany all these years. In the young people and the older ones. And through the years, you see the power of God working in lives. Recently, Pastor Mark and I were invited to a special needs Sunday school gathering. And all the parents were there, and some of the parents, they are in my Sunday school class. And so we were invited on last Tuesday during May 1st, and so the children were there. They were in one room playing, and all the parents were together, and they all shared. They shared about their struggles and how they thank God for Bethany. There was one particular mother that shared about how she brought her daughter to another church. And at this church, they didn't cater for special needs children. And she would go to class, Sunday school class, and after a while, she stopped going. So during Sunday school, she would go to the playground, play, mother would be there. And when they were serving breakfast, she would come in, and that's it. And she would go out and play again. Every Sunday would be like that. And the mother would, you know, she felt that God did not love them. That's what she said. But when she came to Bethany through someone, and when we have this special needs program, and how this girl would look forward to come every Sunday, At the end, she said, "You know, it is here that I can feel God loving me. It is here that I have found God real." I was so deeply moved by that. And I thank God. I thank God for those who are involved in the special needs program. You know, it is challenging to from the moment they come in, to have a big smile, to have a vibrancy of spirit for the next 1 hour. Every week doing that, that is not easy. I just want you to know that, you know, you guys are doing a good job. And God is using what you are doing to bless the hearts of these parents. Every week, Pastor Mark and I would teach them and share with them the gospel. You know, they have so many questions. It's every week is just filled with so many questions. They have so many things to ask, many things to struggle with. And I understand. I understand how, you know, what they are going through. Maybe not totally, but it's challenging. And every week I seek to find an answer from the scriptures that would encourage them. I thank God. I thank God for His power. At the end of it, strength and power, what underlines it? What undergirds it? It is the mercies of God. If you read, let's go back to Psalm 21. In Psalm 21, we read, "For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved." That's also strength. He shall not be moved. He's been blessed. The Lord's presence is there. You know what? That is the mercies of God. Through the mercies of God. It is through the mercies of God that we are strengthened. It is through the mercies of God that God will empower. You know, everything is about the mercies of God. Everything. It is His grace. It is His mercies. That's why He says, "Be exalted in your own strength." It is God's own strength, not our strength, not the strength of anybody else. There's some religion where they, you know, they believe that the gods are powerful and they are strong because the people pray to them. I think some years there was a show called The Wrath of the Titans. And all the gods were weak and they were crumbling and they were dying because the people were not praying to them. Not our God. Our God has His own strength. He does not depend on anyone. And when we look at the strength the Lord has given to us, the power that works in Bethany, in our IPC circle, we see the mercies of God. And so when we exalt God, when we exalt His strength, when we exalt His power, what are we exalting? We are exalting His mercies. God has been so merciful to us. We are here because of the Lord's mercy. We are alive because of the Lord's mercy. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the Lord's mercy. We are living because of the Lord's mercies. Sir Alex Ferguson, person that I used to admire a lot, Manchester United coach, manager. Yesterday, when I was going back in the Grab car, person told me straight away, because he had a sign of Manchester United, and he said, "You know, Sir Alex Ferguson, he had a hemorrhage. You know, and he's fighting for his life. Doesn't matter who you are, how famous you are in this world. One moment, you can be standing, and next moment, you're fighting for your life." One moment, you can go out on a birthday party. Next moment, a car crashes into you and you are gone. 19 years old. One moment, you are running in national service. Next moment, you get heat exhaustion and you die. And I've seen people going through heat exhaustion before. I had one section member when I was in officer cadet school. He had it twice. When we were on a mission, and I saw the same thing happen, first thing that he will do is that he will start screaming. And it's very scary. He will start screaming, and he'll be shouting, and here we're trying to, you know, take water and cool him down. That is a very, very scary sight. I saw it twice. One here, the other time was in Brunei itself. I thank God that I'm alive. I thank God that I have strength. I thank God that the Lord has sustained me this many years, whether it was being a pilot, whether it's being a pastor. I'm here only by the grace of God, by the mercies of God. And maybe this evening, let's take a moment. Sometimes, you know, when we go through a week and the Lord's strength is there for us, maybe we don't give enough time to praise God, to give thanks to God, to exalt Him. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we move on to other things. Sometimes we take things for granted. And so I want like to end this Psalm 21 with these words: "Be exalted, O Lord, in your own strength." We, that's the first time he uses a pronoun. Throughout the whole psalm, he doesn't use it, but that's the only time he uses a pronoun, a plural pronoun. We will sing and praise your power. We. So let us exalt the Lord. Let us give praise to Him. Let us sing to Him. Let's look forward to this weekend. Let's anticipate worship. Let's look forward to giving thanks to Him. Let's worship Him. Let's exalt His name because He deserves it. Let's take time to reflect, take moments to think. It's been half a year. God has been there for us, strengthening us, helping us, being merciful to us every day. His mercies are new every morning. Every day, the mercies of God is there for you to be alive, to find the strength to do what we need to do. It's been 5 months. Let's give Him the glory, all the glory. Okay? Now let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before your holy presence, your throne of grace this evening. And we ask, dear Lord, that you'll forgive us. Forgive us when we have taken your mercies, your strength, for granted. And this evening, we want to exalt you, Lord. We want to glorify your name. We want to give thanks to you for being such a wonderful and merciful God to us. We thank you, O Lord, for all the blessings that you have given to us. We thank you for this great privilege of having your presence in our life. We thank you for the strength that you have given to us each day and every day to work, to do your work, to reach out to others. And we pray, dear Lord, that you will enlarge our hearts to have a greater heart of appreciation and love for you, to stand in awe of you for who you are. And we pray, dear Father, that you will bless us. We ask, dear Lord, that you will lead us, and may we be able to draw closer to you, even as we appreciate this. We ask for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.